This is May the 18th, a beautiful day here in Aransas Pass, and I hope it's a wonderful day wherever you are. And I hope that the sun is shining at least in some part of your life. We are here joined together to bring more light into the lives of each one of us, to become a lighted community that is open to serve one another and to receive the blessings of Christ. And that's how I hold this. I never know what, and how could I know what Christ can offer to your life. I just know that he brings good things. He brings blessings. It might be hope. It might be encouragement. It might be a healing, or it might be more abundance or the solution to a problem that's just been nagging you, because we can sometimes get so burrowed into the problems of our life that we can't see the answer for the degree we're embedded into it. And he just takes us out of it enough that we can look into it and find the answer. Sometimes we have conflicts in life with other people, and there are external reasons for those conflicts, always, because nobody wants to be in them. But we can find the answers when we move outside the conflict and view it from a different perspective. And he helps us do that. He helps us find courage. He stimulates our imagination with inspiration. He leads us into new pathways of thinking, of doing, and of receiving all the many blessings of life that are waiting for us. You know, one of the great mistakes I think that we all make in the idea of affirmations and the use of the word manifestation is that we think we're commanding something to be created. Actually, everything has already been created. Do you know, just as an example, if this is a way of taking you out to the macroverse, the larger scope of the universe. If you were on a planet, 75 million light years removed from Earth, looking at us through your version of a Hubble telescope, only possibly even better so it could see more details, you know what you would be looking at on this planet? Dinosaurs. You wouldn't be looking at human beings with high-rise buildings. You would be looking at dinosaurs. That's how long it took for the dinosaurs created on this planet to show up for you on your planet 75 million years ago. You see, that's my point of illustrating that everything that is intended to show up for you has already been created. What you have to do is to be ready for it, to be in a frame of mind that is ready to receive it, use it, apply it, understand it, and appreciate it with gratitude. Those people looking at dinosaurs are probably saying, wow, there's a planet out there just getting started and fertile with life. Oh, man, what a wonderful garden of paradise that is. And they're thinking about the abundance and the fullness of this life, of the planet we have inherited. Isn't it just amazing to think about? Well, you see, when we say our affirmations, say them with a sense of not what you don't have that you would like to have, but with a sense of thank you, God, for this which you have given, and help me to see that it has been given, and help me to find ways in which to receive it and utilize it. Amen. When we seek to manifest something, don't think that you're manifesting it. Just assume and hold that you are now ready that you have readiness for that which you've already seen in your mind's eye. In other words, you've already seen the dinosaur. Now you're ready for the high-rise building. We are space-time travelers, and we can look backwards and forwards and move left and right through the many, many telescopes we use for looking at all the possibilities of life. And the worst thing we can do is keep the lens cap on so all we see is nothing or darkness. And then we believe in scarcity. Take the lens cap off, polish the lens, and look at all the many things that already exist for you. And a lot of times it's just a matter of positioning yourself in the right way to become the connection that something, some energy or life form or created form is wanting to make. So that's my introduction for today, and I see there's someone on the line, and I wish to talk to you. So you're at area code 978, and hello.
Hi. I've been reading your book, Love Without End, and I was particularly interested in the lots of parts, but anyway, about meditation and the Sacred Heart, and the sort of two ways of entering into the Sacred Heart. And so I was just wondering if you could say more about that, and especially about the second way, and any things that you have found helpful in terms of...
I certainly can, but at the same time, we all are at different stages of perception and growth and development. I can't tell a child what it feels like to have the joy of going to work. But at the same time, a child can't tell me, maybe he can remind me to remember what it feels like to just have the joy of getting up and starting to play. There's no more time in life more special than another. But when it comes to meditation, you see, meditation is really an action of the soul and the heart in which we relinquish progressively and decisively the interference of our mental processing. Now, we're all wired uniquely and specifically in our life to approach this process in the way it works best. Now, for example, children are just not going to be still. They're just not going to be. The best thing you can do is to show them something like a bird or a lizard and tell them, now you can focus on it and watch it. But if you move at all, you'll probably scare it or it will move away. And so they learn to be still and focused. And they learn in the process of being still and focused that that's a very special state where they don't think about anything. They just behold. Now, progressing on from that as adults, just beginning on our spiritual pathway or somewhere in the process of moving on up the mountain, we still see ourselves pretty much as a soul in a body. People are very, very early in their spiritual learning see themselves as a body that has a soul. But I think most people ready to pick up Love Without End see themselves as a soul in a body having an earthly experience. And it's to that group of people that most of Love Without End is directed. But as we move on up the mountain, we see ourselves more as a soul that temporarily has a body for its own functional use and service in life. Now, it depends on where you are in that process as to which one of these approaches to meditation is more appropriate to you. It's just like one of the great poets said, you can see yourself as being in the heart of God, or you can see God as being in your heart. And the larger perspective would be to see yourself being in the heart of God. But it's okay to see yourself, to see God in your heart as well. So a lot depends upon the breadth of our perspective as to which one of these processes works best. Those who see themselves mostly as united in the heart, it's really better just to drop your attention, let it float like a feather into your heart, and just be still inside your heart and allow your heart to dismiss your mind. There is no better or lesser way of meditating. The prime accomplishment of meditation is that we dispense the interferences of our mind so that our heart and soul can be united. Now, if we have progressed to the point where most of our life we are viewing as a spiritual being that occasionally goes to work in a body, then the second entry, the remote entry, actually seems quite natural. And it's a very natural progression. If it's difficult for anyone, then it's probably not something that you should apply effort to doing. Just know that it's possible. And when it happens for you, don't be surprised. I have noticed that as people meditate, entering the heart in unison, heart and soul, eventually become so expanded in their soul perceptions that they just become too big to be contained in the heart. And they take on almost an external perspective from the soul. And that's when you begin to notice, oh my goodness, I'm here and my body's there. And it's necessary to move into the heart in order to be one with it. You see the difference? Yeah. And it's a natural progression that happens. It can happen for anyone, and it will definitely happen for anyone who is dedicated to meditation. And you don't have to maneuver and worry and figure out. I think it's almost impossible to figure out. You know, when he told me, I thought, well, gee, I haven't done that. And then all of a sudden, one day, it happened. Okay? Don't feel insecure about asking that question, because it's probably one of the most ask about questions for people reading Love Without End for the first time. Okay? All right. And it's really nice to talk to you again. I hope you enjoy Love Without End. Great. And we have Mary Smith on the line. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Glenda Green, who I love. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to share a couple of things. The first one being, thank you so much for your webinar. I don't even really have words to express how powerful and meaningful it is. And I tell you, sometimes your teaching, it's almost like I absorb it. I don't have to think about it, and it just unfolds in my life, and I learn it through my life. And this class is so powerful. I just can't thank you enough. And I did want to talk about two things that happened to me recently, and I'll try to make them brief, but they have to do with essence and vibration and frequency. And I think just, well, for example, I feel so complete with what I learned from you and with our weekly blessings and from just belonging within this community. I used to feel like I needed to study everything and study, and I still do. I still study what I'm drawn to, but it's been a while since I felt compelled to read the works of another teacher, because I learned so much from you, and my heart feels pretty complete in what we do together. And recently I felt very drawn to the writings of a teacher, and I thought, you know, I'm going to study some more about this particular teacher. And I had to laugh, Glenda, because all throughout this book that I started reading, the person quoted the most is you and Yeshua and Love Without End.
Goodness.
And so I just thought, you know, this is still all sparkly with the essence of my tribe. Like, I feel like my heart compels me along the same path of what it is I want to learn. It just felt like still being a mom among my tribe, and it just made me smile. And the other thing is a testimony to the blessing itself. And I was taught such a powerful lesson. I a few weeks ago I did not want to miss the blessing, and I also wanted to go to a church that was having this old Latin service called a compline. So in order to do this in the right timing, I did the blessing in the parking lot. And I was sitting in my car and very far away from anything else that was happening. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this very, I'm just going to say, kind of a lost soul, a homeless man who was, who looked like he was just not in good shape. But he walked over to my car. I had called into the blessing. I was just sitting in my car, and I was listening to you on the phone. And he walked over to the outside of my car and made a gesture of my heart to your heart. And then he sat in front of my car during the time that the blessing, that you were speaking and giving the message, and I was connected to the blessing.
Oh, Mary, that's a wonderful story.
Well, you know, he got up and he started kind of teetering. And so I kept asking Yeshua, what should I do? Should I disconnect? Should I go help him? And I was having this internal struggle, but I did decide to disconnect from the call. And at that point, he walked over to the car and said, well, I'm just not going to sit with you anymore. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, it was really powerful, because I thought, well, what am I going to do that the blessing could not? And he was obviously so comfortable when I actually had called into that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I always think about him and include him in the blessing. But thank you for everything.
Mary, that's wonderful.
Doing. Yeah.
Wonderful. And there is a special frequency in this blessing, which is why we come together to become conveyors or messengers of that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing givers are like radio antennae. We've been trained to pick up that signal and convey it so that it can we can direct it to the lives of those around us. And, of course, they pick it up in ways that are unique to them. So we don't add any of our agendas, any of our thoughts or intentions. We just become a pure conduit for that signal so that others can pick it up and receive what they need to receive. And that just lets you know that he was saying, well, I was connected with Yeshua. Thank you very much. Why did you turn the phone off?
Exactly. Exactly. And it was so powerful, because I kept thinking, oh, what should I do? What should I do? There's no, what an honor to be able to hold him within the frequency of the blessing. And that's really all I did need to do.
You know, and the interesting thing is that so often people in that condition are waiting for an opportunity to come to your window and ask for money. And it's very clear that that is not what he wanted.
Right.
He wanted something that was far more valuable to him than money.
Well, I do ask ask that you be included in the blessing today.
Oh, we sure will.
Okay.
We certainly will do that. And thank you so much, Mary, for being such a good conduit and conveying the blessings in such a loving, loving way.
It's my absolute honor. Thank you.
Yes, you are welcome. And so those were two terrific calls. And thank you both for your participation in that. I just love it when I can build on what people ask and then just contribute to what I would like to have said anyway. And as Yeshua said, to build on one other thing Mary said, he said to the woman by the well, you've been drinking salty water that makes you more thirsty. I will give you water that quenches your thirst. And this is what he does. It's, Mary, you're not the only one that's told me, well, I read Love Without End, and then I just threw out all the other books in my library. And I don't mean this as any derogatory against those books, because my heavens, I have a huge library. I'm a very, I appreciate the literary works of people and the wisdom that is in these books. And in almost every book, you can find some degree of wisdom. So I would not have reacted that strongly, because I really love what other writers have to say, and I really enjoy wisdom that can be found other places. But you know what? I hardly read any anymore. People ask me what I had read before I got my messages from Yeshua, and I said, well, I've read a great deal, but nothing like this. I didn't read to prepare for this. In fact, once I had had my conversations with him, I didn't want to read anything. I just didn't. And one of the deciding factors coming around to being willing to speak what he had said to me was an event that happened to me in a Barnes & Noble's bookstore. I'm not quite certain which bookstore it was, but it was one of the big chain stores, where I was thinking about buying a book to go home and read that night, and I started to reach for it because it was one I was waiting for to come out and was very interested in what the next edition would say. I started to reach for it, and something just came through me and over me that said, if you haven't done anything with all the truth you've been given, why do you want more? I moved away from it, and the next night, Yeshua appeared to me. And then once again, he appeared and persuaded me to begin speaking what he had spoken to me. It's a little bit like a matter of priority. We only have so much time on this earth. Let's make it count for what speaks more potently to our heart, most productively to our life, and most to create more love in the world, more benefit, more personal growth, and use our time on this earth to the greatest possible advantage. And I have never had more honor, more privilege, or more joy than serving the teachings of Christ for the best utilization of my time on this earth. It even outranks painting, which was the love of my life for career, at least in a career category, all of my life, since the time I was 3. I couldn't imagine not painting. And I still do paint. And I've noticed my paintings have gotten better and better and better. But it's not how I spend most of my time. Why would I want to, when I can spend my time with Yeshua? When I can give the fruits of our meeting to other people and create the benefits that are possible in the blessing. And I guess with that, we're going to move into our blessing for this day. And then I'm looking forward to being back in class today. And Mary, your question about frequency and wavelength is going to specifically be addressed in our class today. So you're right on target. Let's do begin our blessing. And for those of you who are new, just be seated in your chair. Have your bare feet on the floor. No arms and legs crossed, and otherwise just be comfortable. Allow your attention to fall into your heart and just be there. Dismiss your mind. Tell it to take a vacation. Don't tell it not to think about something because you know what will happen then. It's like saying don't think about an elephant. Of course it will. Just say, be on vacation. In other words, give it an affirmative command. Be on vacation. Relax. I'll be back with you shortly. Go into your heart, and in your heart, begin your prayer. Pray for that which you need, you want, you desire. Pray for others. Pray for a better world. Pray that what you see in your heart as your union with goodness, with love, and with God be the will that is done. And see it done. You will do this for 3 minutes. And during that time, the blessing givers and I will conduct this special frequency of energy that will be directed to each one of you uniquely to apply in your life as your heart sees fit to receive it. The Holy Spirit will direct it to all parts of your life, your body, heart, soul, and being, to work its benefits and offer its gifts that you may experience a betterment in life in whatever ways you're willing, ready, and able to receive. And sometimes the receiving will occur over a number of days or even weeks. Come back next week for a second infilling. And the more you return, the more readiness you will have, the more openness you will have to receive more and to be more fully infilled with the blessings of Christ. So let us begin. I'll offer an invocation to Yeshua. Then you begin your prayer for 3 minutes. Dear Yeshua, thank you so much for the gift of being with us. Even in that, all has been given, that we are united with one who has fulfilled all of human potential, allows us to see what can be done, allows us to receive according to a higher standard of human potential, that we may be more than we thought we were, that we can be more well than we thought we could be, that we can be more generous than we thought we could share or offer, that we can offer to others more gifts than we thought we had, and not just the gifts of money, but the gift of being, the gift of being present, the gift of acceptance, the gift of humanity, that we may give to nature and life according to its need and the bounties of God. Amen. Your blessing has now been delivered in energetic form. It's time for you to go and rest and receive in all the ways it can benefit you. Rest for at least 7 minutes. Assimilate. Be at peace. Be nurtured. Don't try to think your way through it. Just rest, and it's totally acceptable to fall asleep. Be well. Have a wonderful, loving week, and I look forward to being with you again very soon. Bye-bye.